E-tidings, Cosmos. Good morning, 21st century world of worlds. This is Radio Richard Ireland, coming to you from within the soundproofless studio of life itself. Tá míle fáilte rót anseo. I am your host, Richard McSweeney. Hear this, listener, give it here your fullness of ear. From the beginning there is breath, and upon that breath there are words. I at times find that although I were to think a thing through, and then to attempt to talk it through, it doesn't always turn out the way I intended. Therefore I am given to conclude that thinking is one thing, talking another, talking one thing and thinking another. And the sage in the digital age speaks of the philosopher of old, saying, whenever he fed some young or even old crow scraps of food, he noticed a few interesting things taking place. There would always be a pair of crows in a nearby tree who would noisily announce that the human was distributing some food. However, while they were making such an announcement, other crows from a further distance would quickly and stealthily swoop in and take as much of the scraps as their beaks could fill, while the two and the three, being more concerned with announcing, didn't secure a single scrap when they tried to go get some. And he noticed there would always be a lone crow or two who would not just be interested in taking scraps for him or herself, but who would, with puffing up their plumage, be more concerned with trying their best to drive off as many as possible of the others. But like the pair on the nearby tree, they too would end up with not securing a single scrap for themselves. And with observing these scenes, he could recognize that such individual characters, and more besides, also exist in the human world. In today's broadcast, I'll be reading from Prince Hamlet, The Republic, and the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. This is a reading in continuity from Prince Hamlet. I will not speak with her. She's importunate, indeed distract. Her mood well needs be pitied. What would she have? She speaks much of her father, says she hears there's tricks in the world, and hems and beats her heart, spurns enviously at straws, speaks things in doubt that carry but half sense. Her speech is nothing, yet the unshaped use of it doth move the hearers to collection. They aim at it, and botch the words up fit to their own thoughts, which, as her winks and nods and gestures yield them, indeed would make one think there might be thought, though nothing sure, yet much unhappily. 'Twere good she were spoken with, for she may strew dangerous conjectures in ill-breeding minds. Let her come in. To my sick soul, as sin's true nature is, each toy seems prologue to some great amiss, so full of artless jealousy is guilt, and spills itself in fearing to be spilt. Where is the beauteous majesty of Denmark? How now, Ophelia? How should I your true love know from another one? By his cockle hat and staff, and his sandal shoon. Alas, sweet lady, what imports this song? Say you, nay you, pray you mark. He is dead and gone, lady, he is dead and gone. At his head a grass green turf, at his heels a stone. Nay, but Ophelia, pray you, mark, white his shroud as the mountain's snow. Alas, look here, my lord, larded with sweet flowers, which be wept to the grave did go, with true love showers. How do you, pretty lady? Well, God'll be do. They say the owl was a baker's daughter. Lord, we know what we are, but know not what we may be. God be with your table. Conceit upon her father. Pray you, let's no word of this. But when they ask you what it means, say you this. Tomorrow is St. Valentine's Day, and all in the morning be time. And I am made at your window to be your Valentine. Then up he rose and down he close and dumped the chamber door. Let in the maid that outer maid never departed more. Pretty Ophelia, you need la without a note. I'll make an end to it. By G's and by Saint Charity, alack. And fie for shame, young men will do it if they come to it. By cock they are to blame. Quoth she, before you tumbled me, you promised me to wed. So would I had done by yonder sun, thou hadst not come to my bed. How long had she been thus? I hope all be well. We must be patient. But I cannot choose but weep, to think they should lay him in the cold ground. My brother shall know of it. And so I thank you for your good counsel. Come, my coach. Good night, ladies. Good night, ladies. Sweet ladies. Good night. Good night. A reading from Plato's The Republic. Did you hear all the advantages of the unjust which Trasimachus was rehearsing? Yes, I heard him, he replied, but he has not convinced me. Then shall we try to find some way of convincing him, if we can, that he is saying what is not true? Most certainly, he replied. If I said he makes a set speech and we make another, recounting all the advantages of being just, and he answers and we rejoin, there must be a numbering and a measuring of the goods which are claimed on either side, and in the end we shall want judges to decide. But if we proceed in our own inquiry as we lately did, by making admissions to one another, we shall unite the offices of judge and advocate in our own persons. Very good, he said. And which method do I understand you to prefer? I said. That which you propose. Well then, Trasimachus, I said, suppose you begin at the beginning and answer me. You say that perfect injustice is more gainful than perfect justice? Yes, that is what I say, and I have given you my reasons. And what is your view about them? Would you call one of them virtue and the other vice? Certainly. I suppose that you would call justice virtue and injustice vice? What a charming notion. So likely, too, seeing that I affirm injustice to be profitable and justice not. What else, then, would you say? The opposite, he replied. And would you call justice vice? No, I would rather say sublime simplicity. Then would you call injustice malignity? No, I would rather say discretion. And do the unjust appear to you to be wise and good? Yes, he said, at any rate those of them who are able to be perfectly unjust, and who have the power of subduing states and nations. But perhaps you imagine me to be talking of cutpurses. Even this profession, if undetected, has advantages, though they are not to be compared with those of which I was just now speaking. This is an interpretation, after my own fashioning, of some lines from the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. Northree Star visitor spoke to me, saying, Humaculate of Era, what stories, what anecdotes, what insights do you bring to this new dawn? A middle-aged king of the Limerick Landry was travelling in the hills when he happened upon a sage sitting by a stream. Having courteously greeted her, he asked if it might be acceptable by her for him to ask her a question. Of course, Your Majesty, please do. How may I be the best possible leader of my people and the comforter of my own mind? Always let your mind find its enjoyment in pure simplicity, Your Majesty. Blend it with the flowing of streams and the growing of trees. with gratitude welcome sunrises with open arms, bowed zeniths with palms crossed over onto your chest, and sunsets farewell with having them be down by your sides. Do this, and you will be much beloved and adhered to. But when you feel a bit drained with your responsibilities, Your Majesty, let your thoughts mount on light shines and dark beams. Proceed along with them as days and nights. With them to their places of dwelling go. Be with them wandering outside appellations and designations, outside language with them be, and restored to freshness and vigor will you be. And being much pleased with this answer, he courteously left from out of her presence, to leave her to be, with musing away, carefreely. In a dawn reverie of this new day, meditated I on what an immortal self of mine did say, did lovingly relay, way back in days of long, long, long gone by. O mortal self of mine, when with living in your own realm and time, the words of your mouth and the meditations of your heart will be fully acceptable in your own sight. More desired by the world will they be than purest gold and finest honey. Remember whenever and wherever to bravely speak out on issues when you know quite well you ought to. Refuse to let yourself silence you. The upcoming repeal here on the Isle of Ireland of the 8th Amendment of the Constitution Act 1983, which acknowledges the right to life of the unborn with due regard to the equal right to life of the mother, is such an issue in need of your courageous response. Say no on referendum day, Friday 25th of May, to the making of a law that would fast-track us as individuals and as a people to inhumanity. The beloved lives in the wombs of tomorrows will to us in their own way be eternally grateful and ever so proud of us. All right, I will leave it at that for today. Enjoy taking very good care of yourself and those around you. Be ever so grateful for your many blessings. You have been listening to an Irish philosopher of the natural kind, bringing radio to the internet via Radio Richard Ireland. On the air globally for about 15 minutes, Monday to Friday, and occasionally on the weekends. The script format of today's broadcast will be available at a future date on AuthenticCloseTDramascripts.com. Announcement. As it is a holiday here in Ireland on Monday the 7th of May, the next broadcast won't be until Tuesday the 8th. It is truly an honor to have you listening. May you be a blessing unto yourself by way of your past, by way of your present, and by way of your future. Slán agus beannacht leat.